I want to pause a moment and just teach a couple myths that are also here in the text too, just so you know. Maybe what you heard in your youth or later years, that there's some inaccuracies with these wise men. First off, we don't necessarily know that they were kings. The Bible doesn't say that. The word that's here is magi. They were astrologers. In Jesus' day, astrologers were people who, we might think of that as kind of strange, but what that is they believed that things that happened in the universe and on earth were tied together. So if something happened cosmically, it also meant something was happening here on earth. So they watched the stars. Secondly, we don't know that there were three. Did you notice the Bible doesn't say anything about three? There are three gifts, but we actually don't know if there were three wise men. And then finally, the last thing, and this is going to embarrass us here this morning, the myth of the wise men, is that, did you catch it? They went and visited Jesus at the house. It's not at the manger. So the creches that you see outside and in our church and the song that we sang, it talks about being there at the manger. We don't think that actually happened. It's most likely that this event happened a few weeks after the birth of Jesus and they met him in a house. Okay, now that I've ruined your childhood, the point is this, not those details. The point is this. God was saying, recalculate, my friends. The very first people to worship Jesus, they weren't the people that you would suspect, the chief priests, the scribes, the angels. Now they glorified and praised, but not worshiped down on their knees. And it wasn't King Herod, the person that you might expect there right in Jerusalem, the holy city. No, the very first people were Gentiles. My friends, let's apply this to our own lives. And as I think about my own life, I am guilty of calculating things way too much and not allowing God to speak in and say, Jeremy, recalculate. And I'd like to tell you a story in my life when that did happen. And it was when I went to seminary in St. Louis. For about 4 years in St. Louis, you get to worship in a church, lead services, share in the readings, this sort of, even share some sermons. For the first 2 months that you're there in seminary, you get to go to any church that you want. It's kind of a liberating feeling. You can go to the west side, east side of St. Louis, north side, south side. So for 2 months I did that, and I calculated what kind of church that I'd like to serve for 4 years in St. Louis. So the calculation went like this. I'd like to be with people that have a similar background to me. I'd like to be in a place in which the people have the same taste and the same socioeconomic level and all those sorts of things. And then after 2 months, the assignment came where I would go and serve for 4 years in St. Louis. And my friends got their assignments. One was to Ellisville out on the suburbs of St. Louis, big church. Another friend got Collinsville in Illinois, another big church. And then another friend got Oakville on the south side of St. Louis. And then my turn came, and they said this, Jeremy, you're going to go to St. Paul Lutheran Church in West Florissant. West Florissant? Who's ever heard of West Florissant? Grabbed my phone, got the directions, took 6440, the highway that cuts through St. Louis, got off on Grand Avenue and went north. Realized I wasn't in Kansas anymore. Abandoned cars, abandoned apartments, homeless people with shopping carts up and down. Got to St. Paul Lutheran Church, which happened to be a church established about 1880 for factory workers that produced soap for Civil War, people that were involved in the Civil War. But by the time I got there, it had changed completely. This is close to where Ferguson is, if you can imagine what happened just a couple years ago. So I had the experience of 4 years of worshiping in a church where I was almost the only white person. You know what God was doing? Recalculate, Lucky. Recalculate. You calculate, but I'm going to recalculate for you, and you're going to learn something. Boy, has that taught me flexibility in my life. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but sometimes in life, when we calculate and then there's a recalculation, sometimes we end up being in a better position than we ever were before. That's what happened to one of the greatest, that's how one of the greatest inventions in American history ever happened. That invention was the TV dinner. Maybe you know this, but do you know how TV dinners started in the United States? A miscalculation. In 1953, the company Swanson ordered way too many turkeys for the upcoming Thanksgiving season. In fact, so many that there were 260 tons of extra turkey left over that filled up 10 refrigerator railroad cars. What a mistake. Fire the man who did this. But there was a salesman who came up with an idea. His name's Jerry Thomas. Jerry Thomas said, let's order 5,000 aluminum trays. And let's put turkey and cornbread and peas and sweet potatoes on the dish, and then let's sell them. But you know what? His idea, Jerry's idea, was actually a miscalculation as well. Because in the next 6 months, there were 10 million orders for those TV dinners. I love that story because you know what it's about? It's about a miscalculation and a recalculation that allowed a company to have more influence. My friends, what keeps us from having a closer relationship with God, partnering with His mission? It's not your mission, it's not my mission, it's God's mission. How do we do that? Well, we resist calculating. That's what hurts us. We calculate. We figure out the way that it should be. At Peace Lutheran Church, we have a goal here that every member invites one person every year. Now, there's years that I haven't done that. I have to admit, there's been a few that I haven't done that. There are years I've done more than one. What keeps us from inviting friends to church and sharing Jesus? I think it's because we calculate. Oh, that person? Oh, boy. I've never seen them get up past any earlier than 10 o'clock. We calculate. There's no way I'm going to invite them. Oh, him? Oh, he's not going to fit the political climate at Peace Lutheran Church. Oh, no way I'm going to do that. And I wouldn't do that to him. Oh, her? No, I can't invite them either. That would just be too scary. We calculate. My friends, probably the best thing that we can do is to be open to God's voice saying, recalculate that person. Invite them. Because isn't that what God did for you? He recalculated your sins. They're gone. You were outside. You were a Gentile. And He's drawn near to you. Shouldn't we also recalculate every single person in our life and share Jesus? Yes. God was in the business throughout the pages of the Bible sharing that word. Recalculate. To Moses, Moses pulled out his calculator, I'm convinced of it, there at the Nile, and he said, there's just too many Egyptians here, God, and the trip to the promised land, it's too far. What did God say? Recalculate, Moses, you're doing it. Peter, speaking to the Gentiles, God, this is meant for the Jews. There's no way. And then a dream happens in Acts chapter 10. Do you know what that dream was? Recalculate Peter. And when we recalculate, it is just like a GPS system. It takes us to where we need to be. Personal question. Is there something that you need to recalculate in your life? Or is there something that you've calculated that you're dead sure on, that you're not willing to be moved? How can you be open for God saying, I want you to recalculate? As we head into 2022, let's think about that in the ways that God will speak boldly and say, recalculate. Reach people for Jesus. Amen. Let's pray about that, and then we'll share our creed. Dear Lord, we are oftentimes stuck. Not for ill intentions, but just because we think we know how it's going to go. Even when we read the Bible, Lord, sometimes we've read the story before and we think we know it. Lord, give us a heart that's open to people, to your word, to direction in life, that we could be redirected, recalculated to serve you and every single person around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.